I'm live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Admin stuff out first before we get to our guests and give them time to get here.
First of all, as you know, we're still getting our books together here at Midwest Publishing Group, and we're going to be getting an anthology together. For those of you who have been following on Facebook, you'll see that Midwest Publishing Group, which is a publishing company that is ran by me, is looking for authors to come together to do a project, an anthology called Contagious Lust 2. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking for people, could be first-time authors that are trying to get their feet wet into the game, or and some that are seasoned. And we're going to pick eight, and we're going to go ahead and decide which eight we're going to use, and we're going to get this book out. And it's to benefit the company and to help the company kind of grow a little, as well as give you expertise and a chance to get out, you know, your literary skills, and a chance to, you know, maybe get a book deal. So looking for that, that's going to be coming. I think we may have one of the panelists here. Ms. Carmen, are you here?
Yeah, but I was actually trying to flag you in the chat. My voice is shot, so I'm going to check in from the chat room.
Okay, well, I understand, and I'm glad that you came on in. And you just talk when you feel like talking, okay? Okay. All right. So we also have Ms. Cotton. How are you doing this evening?
I am blessed, feeling pretty good, you know, like I could run
really?
A mile right now.
Really? What you been doing? Talk to us.
You know, it's just one of those days where I'm just feeling high on life right now, so... Got a lot of good stuff coming up, so I'm feeling real good.
Well, that's good. Okay. Well, Carmen is here, and she says her voice is shot, but she's going to be listening. So when she wants to talk, she can talk whenever she feels like it, and we'll keep her mic on just in case she has something to say. But we're supposed to have our two guests this evening. We got Miss Julie Press Simmons is going to be coming on, and Miss Lakeisa Cox. They're going to be here, hopefully. We may have one of them now, area code 810. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Toy Honey. I'm calling from Michigan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing just great. So how's things in Michigan?
Cold.
Okay. I understand that. Just wanted to see what you was going to say. But we can't make it hot for you?
I wish.
You wish.
Bring the
okay.
hot weather this way.
Well, I tell you what, you continue to listen to Word Sexy Radio, and we'll see what we can do about warming it up a little bit for you. DV, how you doing this evening?
Man, I'm good. How's it going?
Well,
hey,
the young
TV.
Lady here we were just speaking with, we got Cotton here, and we also have Carmen, and Carmen's not
Ms.
feeling
Carmen.
Too good, but she's here with us anyway, so speak to Ms. Carmen.
Hey.
Hi, Ms. Carmen.
Hi, everybody.
Man,
I love her voice. It's so raspy. I'm sorry you're not feeling good, sweetheart. But I know how you feel because I'm not really feeling good either. But I'm going to make this thing work because it has to. So before we go any further into our deal here, though, I just kind of want to talk a little bit. I know everybody's was kind of disappointed on the results yesterday of this Best Actress. So what did y'all think about that? I mean, you know how it is. It takes time to get things, and when we do get close, it's like, you know, we want more. But your thoughts, anybody?
You know what? I guess I'll start off. I'm kind of one of those people that it means nothing, you know, to me, only because, like, I haven't had an opportunity to see either one of them, you know, any of the movies. You know, I haven't watched The Help, so, you know, I can't gauge.
Great movie. I saw it.
Yeah, like, you know, I haven't watched any one of those movies, and I haven't seen any one of those actors, and you know, that were nominated. So, like, to watch, I mean, even award shows kind of, you know, just don't interest me. You know, I get online to find out who won, and if they didn't win, so what? Because there are a lot of people, like, there are a lot of people who are, you know, who I feel were deserving who never got it. You know, like, you know, I take it back to, you know, Denzel Washington and Malcolm X and X. That brother, you know, acted his ass off and you know, got nothing for it. You know, so it's kind of those things that kind of make me feel disenfranchised about the whole process of nominations, because it sets you up to fail. You're like, they'll nominate somebody, but then you're like, they're going to fail anyway. They ain't going to get it. You know, it's not the year of the black person.
Since you brought it up, I mean, it seemed like all the parts, and I'm not trying to make it racial, but I'm going to say this anyway. It seemed like every part that when they do win, it's always got to be something domestic or something negative. Like when Denzel did win, it was for him being a crooked cop. And when Halle Berry got it, of course, she was a whore. And then you got Hattie, when she did it back in the day, she got it as being a maid. And then the lady last night for being a maid. And it just seems like when we do our roles, you know, I know that's all they give us, but it's just a trip that we just can't seem to get it for other roles, other things. I mean,
no, but
I mean,
didn't
Whoopi got it.
But didn't Jamie get it for Ray?
Ray. Yeah.
But that was the best part. I was just getting ready
to
say
that. Yeah, Jamie got it for Ray.
And Denzel got Best Supporting in Glory. You know,
right.
That's one of the few movies that, like, I get choked up when I watch it, you know. And
yeah,
I've seen it numerous times, so.
I couldn't be happy.
I was going to get to that, because I know y'all was going to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I couldn't be happy for Jamie, because I felt like Don Cheadle got cheated. I thought that was that Hotel Rwanda
Yeah, he did get cheated.
The all in all of movies. So I was just like, I can't believe Ray beat out Hotel Rwanda.
Right. Well, let me see. We got we may have a caller that may have something to say. 913 area code. You have anything you might want to say? Okay, they're probably just listening. Okay, hopefully I didn't run them away. All right, well, I'm glad everybody's here this evening, and we're here right now, and our guest that's supposed to be here is not, so, and I have been putting it out, so it's not that they don't know. But anyway,
I did need help.
Say that again, I'm sorry. Hello? Carmen, did you say something? She's still here.
My voice is just stopped. But no, I was saying I saw something interesting on Facebook this week that might, I don't say it affects us directly, but there was a person in the poetry community who was telling people that he had cancer and was having a bone marrow transplant. And it came out that it was a big lie. So there's been drama all week. This week about it. And I was just shocked, because I was like, you're going to lie about something to get attention? I would think cancer would be the last thing you would lie about.
Right. So it was a hoax?
I mean, yeah, apparently she admitted the lie and claimed that she needs mental help.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Interesting.
Proper attention. I don't want to, you know, take on anything that you guys are saying, but I kind of want to, you know, I have some, like, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard about the whole shootout, or not really shootout, but the kid taking the guns to school in Ohio. That's my, you know, that's my neck of the woods. That's where I'm from. And of course, I have family that went to Shardy, you know, that goes to Shardy, actually. So, you know, I'm kind of thankful that none of my family was hurt. But, you know, I do want to send out my condolences to, you know, the kids that were taken away from their parents. You know, it's always sad to hear a tragedy like that, you know. So I'm just hoping for the best. I really am.
Well, definitely want to keep that family in prayer and everything. And anybody else that is going through anything, you know, it's just, I just don't understand sometimes how things happen and why they happen. But, you know, it's, you know, since we're kind of talking on that, my heart goes out. Okay, so, Cotton, Yeah. Since you came on very, since you came on so cheery and excited, why don't you give us some
like
good information that's going on with you? No, she's
right.
not wrong, but she's got a lot of things going on. She's got a lot of news, and we want you to go ahead and put that out right now. Why don't you just tell us what's going on with you? Because you got a lot of things happening.
I do. You know, I was invited to be the middle act between Karen White and Lenny Williams. So I'm very excited about that. You know, I know nobody really, you know, like Karen White hasn't done anything for a long time, but just to have the opportunity to be the poet in between these two singers, it's, you know, and they got vocals, they got skills. So, you know, people
Lenny
still
Williams.
Talk about
wait,
Lenny.
Don't not get Lenny. Don't get Lenny. Oh, yeah.
Wait,
Karen White,
Lenny
still
Williams,
one of my favorites.
I love you.
Yeah. Begging
oh,
Lenny.
I love that song.
Don't knock
yeah.
Karen White, still one of my favorites. You know,
she
I
is. She's still one of my favorites,
both
too.
Of them.
You know, I still
yeah.
got romantic. You know, I still got romantic
yeah.
on my hard drive. Like, you know, Big
yeah,
D. And
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah. See, I mean, the whole CD, Secret Rendezvous, Superwoman,
yeah.
Love Saw It, the
right,
whole,
right.
that was one of my favorite CDs. Like,
that
you
really
couldn't get me to listen to nothing else.
I'm probably one of the only dudes that still rock Shalimar, so
right.
what?
Right?
Yeah, you probably is, man. I'm gonna have to agree with you on
hey.
That one.
Shalimar, man.
No, they used to be a shit back in the day. I used to love them, man. But, you know, you are, you know, Jody Wiley, you know, she's from Kansas City, so, you know, her and she did well. Even though her sister, I don't know if you guys know her sister, the only thing I know is her stage name. I can't think of her real name. Her name is, I can't even think of that now, but you know, she was in the porn industry. But it's interesting. You know, Shalimar used to be something else. And, you know, these groups all used to open up for other people's stuff, and they all got on their own and did things. And it's just amazing. And for you to open or be in the middle of those two acts, that's an honor. I don't care how old
it is
or how old it's been or whatever. You know, give me an opportunity like that. I'll do it. And I'm not ashamed
it
of that,
is. It's a huge honor because I look at it like this. Just for the person who called me up because he's actually putting together the show, because I've done some shows with him before. For him to even think about calling me up to say, Sheila, you're the person I want to be in doing this show with these two people right here. You know,
wow.
It was such a great honor for me because I'm, you know, I'm very humble at what I do, and I don't see what I do as being as great as other people see it. And so, but when somebody says something, hey, coming, that kind of thing says, wow, it must be good enough. I can be on stage with these two people right here.
Right.
You know, so that,
well,
that was.
I'm excited for you.
Meet you, man. I really am because, you know, when you're in the business, there's a lot, you know, like you, Ty, there's a lot of people that's just like, you know, I do what I do because I enjoy it. But a lot of times we don't realize that other people are, you know, really in love with the things that we do. So, I mean, it's a humbling experience. It really is. And I'm really proud of you. I really am.
Yeah,
thank
me too.
You.
And since everybody's put, what else is going on? Because I thought there was something else that you had that was going on as well that you got that. That's up.
Me? Oh, yeah. Of course. You know, I got plenty of stuff. I have lots
of stuff.
Well,
just keep it going.
So I just
keep it going.
You know, so of course, I officially released the book on Amazon today. So I'm excited about that as well. The sales are actually picking up. So each week, each Monday, I'm actually sending out books every week as I get my week started. And it's going and going. I'll be in Chicago next month as well. DPS is having his release. He's releasing his book. He's having his release party, and so
she,
I'm going to go actually go,
say
go out there and.
Did she say Chicago? The hell is going on with Chicago? Go ahead.
So I'm gonna perform when I go out there as well, so that. And I just did a couple other radio shows as well, Blog Talk radio shows, and so a lot of those people are in Chicago, so they're looking forward to actually meeting up with me and discussing some other projects as well. So
how does it feel to be blowing up? That's what I want to know. Tell me about that, because, you know, a lot of people, they handle it different ways and stuff, and you're blowing up and you stay humble and, you know, you got that spirit of love and everything going on with it, and, you know, some people just don't know how to handle fame. So you being famous, and you know us, and you haven't turned this away and not talking to us anymore.
Really?
Tell us about
really?
That fame and shit,
that's
baby.
Okay.
Oh, is
really?
It like that? I'm just playing with you.
All three are more famous than me. All three are more
right,
famous than me.
Sure. Sure we
I'm
are.
Just, I'm just yeah. enjoying, because I do, as ZB mentioned, I really enjoy what it is that I do. And I kid you not, every single time that I get messages, especially when it comes from a person of the same sex, I think I appreciate it even more, because there's some woman saying to me, and they're not short, they're never really short messages. They're always really lengthy messages of some woman who read something of mine, and she's just in awe of what it is I wrote, because in her mind, I'm writing her story that she can't put out there herself. And it's just a snippet of something. I'm not even writing the whole book.
Great?
It's just different pieces. It's very, really, it's really, really great. It really is. Because,
you know why I say that? Because most of the time you get stuff from people's wives or girlfriends telling me, why are you talking to my husband that way?
Right,
why
exactly.
Up,
exactly.
Why is he all up in your book and all this? But anyway, I'm proud. I'm glad for you. Really,
right.
I am.
Exactly. So it's an honor. I can't even say it's God's taking me to the place where he needs me to be, and I'm just going. I'm really going. Like, and I can't wait till it gets bigger, because it will be bigger.
All right. Well, that's good. So, you know, we always like to get those victory reports coming in and stuff, so I just wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to speak on it, because, you know, that's what it is. And it's great that we all get to do what we like and what we enjoy, and not just, you know, have to do everything that we don't all the time. So it's good when you get that. And speaking on that, I'm finding that a lot of people are starting to, you know, trying the different genres of writing that I've done. I'm starting to find that a lot of people are getting more into my paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shocking. Well, it's not shocking, but it's surprising, because a lot of African Americans, you know, even though I don't write to African Americans, a lot of them are now coming to me saying that, you know, they have jumped into this thing. I guess because, you know, there's a lot of paranormal stuff that's out there now, but to get it from African Americans and not, you know, it's rarity. I guess it's a rarity for that. So I got a review the other day on Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress. Actually, it's been out for a while. I just didn't know it was done. It was 4 out of 5 stars, which I thought was pretty good that they liked it. And they were talking about the historical piece of that. Because, you know, there is people that do that, write historical fiction and historical erotic or fiction or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I was just taking a story and writing, going running with it, and it was just great that they enjoyed the story. And then they, you know, gave it such a nice, you know, review and everything. And I did post it on Facebook and stuff. So, you know, when you get those kind of things, I'm kind of happy about that. But what got me was they were really intrigued with it, because they, you know, they normally don't read history, and they learn things. And I try to throw stuff in that you may not normally read every day and find out about, just, you know, to give some knowledge to some people. If they are reading it, they can find out some stuff. And, you know, it just turned me on. And the good thing about it is that they didn't say I had to have safe sex. So I was just glad, because, you know, you know how sometimes people always want you to have some rubbers or something in fiction. So anyway, I just want to make sure that, you know, I mentioned that. But anyway, that was good. So, DB, what's up with you, man?
I'm kind of, you know, kind of springboard what off you said. You know, I think it's getting to the point where the expectation that is, if you're a black writer, or African-American writer, that you only write one type of genre.
Right,
which is urban, and that kind of that kind of undermines what we're doing, because the thing is, they're all stories are urban stories. They're either told in the city or from a point of view. Every character that I've ever run into had friends or associates that weren't always on the up and up. So I mean, I hate you know, that we're all categorized and stereotyped as urban authors, when the truth of the matter is, an author is an author. You know,
right.
They group us in sections to distinguish us, but that it helps us, but it also limits us. You know, I'm just kind of
to
that point where. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, like I'm just kind of at that point where I feel like this writing is supposed to be 50-50. 50% entertaining, 50% education, you know, and the great writers can mix that in without you knowing that it ever happened. You know, usually the readers just entertain, but at some point they learn some things that they ordinarily wouldn't have learned. And as an author, it's your responsibility to kind of teach them, you know. But
right.
I think at the same time that I'm seeing, like, I'm starting to read a little bit more, and I'm a harsh critic, I just am. But I'm seeing the same storylines regurgitated, and it hurts my feelings. Because I know that there
right.
are talented people out there. I know these guys are talented writers, but they kind of shoehorn everybody into the urban section simply because, hey, if it's selling, why change the menu? Why change it up if it's going to sell? And I think we're so much better than that. So, I mean, I want
and
to
I agree with you.
Science fiction. I want to see black people do stuff outside of the norm, you know, outside of
right.
urban, outside of, you know, romance and outside of church, because I know we can do it.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. And, you know, the thing is, you know, I think it's how we betray ourselves. We kind of touched on this last week. You know, every time you see something urban or whatever, even if it's not intended to be urban, it's always a skyline. It's always somebody laying there or somebody with his shirt off or whatever. You know, something that shows a streak, which is nothing wrong with it. I understand that a lot of us are in that lifestyle, but not everybody is, you know. But my thing is, you know, like you said, people are jumping on this bandwagon because that's a genre that's really selling right now. But, I mean, how many times can you tell that story? It's like any genre, I guess, you know, sexual, whatever. But how many times can you tell that same thing differently? You know, and you're right, we need to unlimit ourselves and stop putting ourselves in a box where we only can write urban. Like you said, when they see some African-American writer, the first thing comes out of them, it's got to be urban. It's got to be something
yeah.
that hood, or it's got to be something that's about drugs or something, you know, and we need to get out of that. Because we have a lot of great authors that don't just write about that, you know. You know, I mean,
like,
it can be, yeah, go ahead.
No, like when I was growing up, like basically there was hip-hop and rap. And it was kind of getting stale. And, you know, Biggie, Chris Wallace came up and he said, well, look, you know, Ready to Die, you know, the first album he made, it was a classic. Why didn't you stick to the formula? And he basically said this. He was like, I'm not poor anymore. So why rap about the things that reminded me of being poor? I have money, so I'm going to rap about the things that, you know, the change of scenery, the things that I do now. And I think that, you know, kind of that speaks volumes to, you know, what people should do. Look, if you started off writing a genre, the greatest thing an artist can do is to expand his or her horizon, to become better, you know, with each story, so that you don't have to tell the same story over and over again. How can you
and
really call yourself an author if you're not jumping from genre to genre? If you stay stuck in the
exactly.
same genre.
Exactly, and you should want to, because that expands you, like you said. And
right.
you know, look at the greats, most of the great writers that have, like Walter Mosley and all that. I mean, they don't write the same stuff all the time. You know, it's different things, different places, you know, different, that's what it's all about with creativity. It shouldn't be just stuck in one area. You know, L.A. Banks, the late L.A. Banks, you know, she wrote Paranormal, she wrote Love Stories, she wrote all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just different people, just like Octavia Butler with the science fiction. A lot of people don't even know that she was a science fiction author that was black that was doing that,
yeah.
you know, it's just. You know, it's just a lot of people that, because they're stuck in this one thing, this one little bubble, and they wonder why they put us in that bubble.
Yeah, they typecast themselves. It's like an actor who only takes one role, you know. Like, you know, remember Huggy Bear? Every time we saw him, he was generally a pimp. So, I mean, and that's what people associate with you. They don't even want to put you in anything besides being a pimp once you've been typecast. So, I mean, if that's all you want for yourself, you want to be known as the only person, as the author who only wrote hood novels, you severely limit yourself as far as history is concerned. You
and
know,
I think they do that because of Iceberg Slim and because of Donald Goins and all that. I mean, those guys wrote what they lived. That's what they wrote.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they couldn't have wrote something else. I mean, they both if I'm not mistaken, died fairly young. So, I mean, they only wrote what they were writing about the hood. Now, I guess they're trying to take that philosophy and write about where they lived and stuff instead of trying to expand, which is not a problem. You can do that. But the thing is to make yourself, I think, to be a better author, is to try to expand and get out of the box and do other things. You know, try it. You know, nobody says you have to stay in it. You just try other things.
You know, it's kind of like the poet who only writes about heartbreak. At some point, you're going to get tired of hearing, you know, all the heartache that this poet is going through. Or, you know, like the reason why a lot of people are starting, there's a lot of people who love Tyler Perry, but there are a lot of people who are turning against him because they feel like he's regurgitating the same storylines and there's nothing new. So, I mean, the thing is people's appetites grow. And as an artist, no matter what medium you use, whether it be, you know, you painting portraits or whether you do music, you have to grow as an artist and hopes that, you know, people understand what you're trying to do. Because if you stuck doing the same thing over and over, people will abandon you quickly.
So has anybody seen, ladies or anyone, have y'all seen Good Deeds?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. Yeah. You kind of, well, this is the thing. I was reading somewhere that it said that 76% of the people who bought tickets for the movie were women. So there are four of them.
I wasn't trying to put it just women. I'm sorry. If it came off that way, I apologize right now because I wasn't trying to just point it at the women. Because, I mean, I go and see a lot of Tyler Perry movies too, but, you know, it just depends. You know, I mean, you know, the Madea thing is great. He got paid on it. He's, you know, that was his thing. I had nothing against that. You know, you do what you got to do. But, you know, this is one of the few movies he's made where he didn't dress like her. So that's why I was just wondering. You know, I want to go see the movie. I just haven't done it yet. But I just wanted to know what y'all thought, if anyone saw it. It doesn't have to be a woman.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. I was just trying to get y'all in the conversation. This is the reason why I said I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it yet, although I plan to because I am a Tyler. I am, like, a huge Tyler Perry fan. I enjoy his work. Man, I really enjoy his work because, to me, it's different. Puts a lot of great messages out there, no matter what people say. Somebody's always going to have something negative to say about everybody, about anybody, no matter what they put out there. So,
I don't really focus on that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always going to be somebody that don't like something. So, oh, well, you only got to watch it. But I plan to go see it, though.
But does that mean that you watch you watch Meet the Browns and the shows on TBS?
Oh, I do, I have almost all his movies. I think I'm in plays, and I'm missing a couple. So you know, I'm working on that.
Okay. I had a question. I lost it just like
but
that.
I appreciate your honesty because I know so many people who actually admit on TBS.
I was going to ask something, and I lost it just like that. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what people are you hanging around, DV? My mama tried to disown me. She wanted to go see him before he was huge in the movie. She wanted to go see a Tyler Perry play, and I was like, I don't do Chipmunk type things. She was like, you're such a snob. Hell, you're so bougie. I don't even know you. I was like, what? My mother, you know,
I don't go against anybody. If Farmer is working for them, that's great. You know, he has an audience. So, you know, ain't no use in dogging it. You know, if that's what he's doing, that's what he's doing, man. And I have nothing against that. We got a caller coming in, area code 973. State your name, where you calling from.
I was hoping you weren't going to call me.
Well, you want me to hang up on me? No, I'm sorry. What's your name? How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Gwen, how are you? Gwen Carter.
Hello, Gwen. Hello, Gwen.
Hi, Gwen Carter.
You know, I'm sorry, Gwen. You always get picked. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't win money or anything, but I get on the radio a lot.
Well, what's wrong with you being here? We enjoy having you come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. You know I'll be on next Monday anyway, so.
That's right. You sure will. So let me ask you, since you're here, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if word sex is starting to die off on some folks, but, you know, I remind people about coming on the show, and for some reason they just seem to forget.
Mm-hmm.
and I remind them again during the week. And I even remind the two people that were supposed to be on tonight again, and for some reason they're not here. So anyway, we still have fun and we do our thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Are you gonna do that to me next week? Are you gonna forget?
No, I'll be on, because if I don't, you know, I will get beat up. So
that's right. That is right.
The looming threat of bodily harm. That always works.
Yeah.
No, but it's no big deal. I mean, you know, I understand people have a lot of things going on. This being a little, this is not the last day for this month. Usually, it's usually the day before the last day. But for this being a leap year, I guess we got two extra days in this month. So,
just one extra day.
I don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make up February 30th. I'm sorry. No, it's February 29th. So anybody who's born or going to be born on that day, they only get to celebrate every 4 years of birth, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
or they celebrate March 1st, you know.
Yeah, so Glenn, what's going on with you? We're gonna talk to you next week, but since you're here, what's going on with you? Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you.
Well, not too much. I was sick a little bit I had a virus and stuff, but okay now.
You're gonna keep that virus over there, right?
Yes, I'll keep it here in Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. I was helping Andrea, you know, do some editing, you know, because truth be told, I don't like to talk about editors, but when you pay people, they need to do their job.
Well, you know how it is. And we try to get them to do their job, and then people complain that we don't have editors doing the stuff, and they don't realize that we do. A lot of times, you know, stuff gets looked at four or five times, and there's still mistakes. Even with the major mainstream companies, you're going to find some books. I've seen books by people such as my frat brother, Elaine Harris, and a few others that had mistakes in them, too, but nobody seems to complain. It's always when it's an indie author or someone that's coming up in their own company or something, they want to give you all the flack and all that, all the bullshit. But anyway, I got you.
And then I read, somebody said the other day, there were so many mistakes I couldn't even read the story. I'm like, well, were you concentrating on the story or were you just looking for mistakes?
And you got some that do that. Just like I said, I'm going to keep saying this. But, so I found out who did this. People was actually looking at my books to find out if my characters are wearing rubbers and, you know, if there's an IED in place or, you know, stuff like that before they have sex. I'm like, damn, it's fiction.
Yeah, a book can get you pregnant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
There are technical readers, and there are people who read just to read. So, I mean, there are always going to be different type of readers. The people who usually make comments are the technical readers, you know, because, you know, I guess it's a type one type personality. They feel compelled to say something, whereas, you know, your casual reader is going to read the story for what it is. But like I said, it's always a technical reader that's not going to be able to read the story because of whether it be, you know, the story doesn't match up or the story's too commonplace or they've heard the story before or it just has too many errors. Those are the people that are always going to be the types to speak up.
Or they want to write that story themselves, or they just feel like they just never wrote nothing. Most of the time, these people haven't wrote shit, but you know but they want to dog you.
Okay.
But you know, if you
get dog, let me get dog, we'll holler. I majored in English, and yes, if the grammar is awful, I can't read the story. But I tell you this, I also correct people's English when they're having a conversation with me. If you're having a conversation with me, chances are I'm correcting your English in my head. I've learned not to do it out loud because I'm told that's rude, but I do correct people's English. And I read one this week called Schooling Carmen by Kathleen Cross, and it was put out by Avon. And her editor screwed her up. The story was great, but the editing was awful. Like, there were not quotation marks where there should have been. I'm thinking the chick is talking to herself, so when somebody responds to her, I'm like, what happened?
That's so funny. I said to Andrea the other day, I said, good Lord, you got so many doggone quotation marks in here. She said, well, you know, it's because different people are talking, and I don't want people to, you know, mix up who's funky and who's, I'm like, but gee, this looks like a lot. But you have to have that when people are carrying on a conversation.
Yep. My only thing is, one thing that I can't stand is when people, you know, write like they talk. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? When you read a book like somebody talk, I can't stand that. You know, because the thing is, colloquialisms and idioms, you know, are supposed to be inside the quotation marks. You can't tell a story, finna, gonna, you know, and the thing is outside of the quotation marks, it's supposed to be, some, you know, at least proper English, you know, but inside the quotation marks, anything goes. And mm-hmm. and that's just my hang-up. When they're telling a story like we're talking to each other, I can't stand that. I can't stand it.
Well, I mean, I agree with you on that one, man. But you know, and I also agree with Carmen that there are a lot of people who have majors, if they're a journalist major or English major, they do criticize your work more because that's what they went to school for. So
okay.
I understand that too. But you know, it's just you know, you're
they
trying to do your best.
To
that's all you can do. Huh?
But yeah. If you're only trying to appeal to one type of crowd, then you write like that. But if you
mm-hmm.
want it to be broadened, like if you want everybody to be able to understand what it is you're reading, then of course you want to, you know, write correctly. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if you're only looking for hood people that talk like you to read what you're writing, then that's fine. If that's as far as you want to go with your work. But if you want
and
the
you know,
world
I'm
to read, you want to put it on Amazon, that's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, absolutely
mm-hmm.
correct. And that's what, and I hate to say, I hate to say, Don't take this wrong, people that are listening, because you will. I hate to say that I'm agreeing with, what's her name, the woman who wrote Waiting to Exhale, Terry McMillan. You know, she was going off on an interview one time about that, and she was saying, you know, I went through all this to get where I am today, and then now you got these people coming up writing this stuff, and how come they get to, you know, get this and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, like I said, if you're writing just to your family members or something, then you can do that. But you're right. It still has to be correct English in there somewhere. You know, you can't just,
mm-hmm.
everything can't be just hood. Y'all, I eat and all this stuff. I mean, like you said, DV, when it's people talking to each other, then they can say what the fuck they want. But anything in between, when you're explaining what's going on, it should be, it should be plain, you know, real, you know, proper English. But some people want to explain it hood. Well, you know, we was going to the, you know, like the person's talking to the narrator's hood too. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just, it's nothing. Like I said, we just need to take a real look at what we're doing because we're getting labeled, and it's just terrible that we're getting labeled this way.
Really.
And they wonder why. They wonder why. And like you said, and the way we market our stuff and the way we put it out there, you know, I have nothing against those who do it. You know, Cash Money is now doing it now. They got a book company, you know, and they've signed Ashley and Jacobius and Wahida Clark and all these people who write that stuff, you know, which is nothing wrong with it. Don't take it negative, people that's listening, because I'm not. It's a craft, it's a genre, it's good. They're doing well. And most of those people that write, they write well. They don't just talk hood and write hood. But
mm-hmm.
you got some that's out there that's just so crazy, you know. I mean,
yeah.
But my thing is you gotta be able to present yourself in a manner so that if anybody looks at it, they don't not looking at you as being a dumbass that's writing something.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to be able to show the smartness of what you do, and then have the people talk about it so that they can get something out of it. Because you know, if you want everybody to read, and I hope that's your objective more than just black people, then you know you want to have it where it makes sense, so they won't talk
mm-hmm.
about it. So we need to get that out. We need
right.
to stop that.
Like,
but as a writer, I think DV said it earlier, but as a writer, we're still held accountable just like anybody else for what we're writing
right.
because
right.
because we don't know who's going to pick up our book. I don't know
that's
who
funny.
Will be the next 21-year-old person that's going to pick up my book, and it may have an effect on their life in some way. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep seeing the same type of stuff and nobody's really doing it the way that it should be done, then how are they going to know how they should be doing it?
Yeah.
Right.
I read a book. It wasn't a whole book. They just gave, you know, part of the book to, you know, whet your appetite. And I was born in Newark, New Jersey. And as we know, you know, they call it Brick City, you know, and but I could not understand anything these authors were saying. They were talking about two drug dealers and they were talking about, you know, how they're packaging this, and this is called this, and that's called that. And I'm like, gee, I thought I knew everything. I guess I don't, you know. Not that I'm trying to, you know, learn about drugs or, you know, how they're packaging it, sending it, and what's this, and, you know, but I didn't know any of this stuff. So to pick up the book and start reading all of this, and I'm like, wow, there's so much stuff that I don't know that I thought I knew, but, you know, you find out that you don't. Not that you want to, but in order to read a book like this, you're going to need to know something to, you know, as to
right.
what you're doing.
Did they have any, like, definitions in the back of the book that kind of explain what it was that they were talking about? Or what? I mean, you laugh, but that's something that you should do when you write something like that. You know, especially when you're trying to explain something that people don't know. You know, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're writing something that you think your audience don't know everything about, there's nothing wrong with putting it. I've seen books that have done that. I've even done that. Like, in the beginning of my books, in the prologue, I might put the definition just to get the person an idea of what I'm writing, especially when I do paranormal. Like, when I wrote Curse of the Nocturnal Subduction, I put what a succubus was, because a lot of people don't know what a succubus is. So I have to explain that in the beginning so it can get their mindset on a succubus. So now
mm-hmm.
they're going to look for this thing in the story. You see what I'm
yeah.
saying? And then when they find it, there it is, and they now know what it is. So, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, that's not bad. That's not, I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to write all these terms that you don't know about, I mean,
yeah.
you're not that far removed from the hood. You know, I mean.
Yeah. You think you know how they're packaging drugs and how it's being sold and whatever, but, I mean, it was like they were talking German to me. I did not understand any of that. And I'm like, gee, you know, who can I call? They might know what this is they're talking about.
But you know what I think it is? I think it's not what the story is what we're settling for. And
mm-hmm.
to expand on that, there's a lot of, like, I got in a debate with another author who writes urban fiction. And the thing is, he was under the impression that I didn't like urban fiction when that was far from the truth. I said, there's nothing wrong with this genre. I said, but what is wrong with it is the fact that we're not following English, and then we say, well, we want other people to read it. Well, look, if you want other people to read it, it has to have a universal appeal. And I'm sorry if that
mm-hmm.
undermines your hood credibility. But the truth of the matter is you're never going to grow outside that specific group until, you know, you market it and you edit it for a mass appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well, that's
I
what
don't
you
care
said
what
earlier,
it,
and I agree with you. You definitely have to have it. Everything that's not in quotation should be proper English. And that needs to be understood, and I think people don't get that. Nobody's saying it's got to be proper, but it needs to be English where people understand so they know the difference between the author, you know, the narrator, or, you know, whatever. So the problem is a lot of these books are written in first person, so it's somebody that's supposedly going through this shit. You know, they're talking, and they're explaining.
And then all of a sudden it jumps to, like, third person. You know, if it
right.
from first person to third person, you're like, whoa, you know, my head.
Yeah, you know, how is that happening?
Back.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right, exactly. So, wow. so you know, those are things that they need to look at. And, you know, we all do, not just them. Any genre you write in, you've got to make sure you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it doesn't matter. As long as you're
right.
an author or an artist or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, but if you look at some of the authors, if you go on their pages and you look at how they write, just something to say hi to a friend, grandma, whoever, you know, and half of them can't get your and your straight.
Yes, or there and there. Oh, God.
Yes.
I hate when they put different theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're going to put your, you are, I'd rather them put that than Y-O-U-R and use it wrong. You know, I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. You know, not that I'm the best. You know, in English, but some things you just automatically know.
But you know what I started doing? Sometimes check out their website to see what they're saying about their product. And if
mm-hmm.
their website doesn't make any sense, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be buying your book. I don't care if it's 99 cents. I don't care if it's $2.
We had an author here a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to dog them and think that they're... I mean, but they were trying to explain. I'm not even going to say who they were, the genre was, their gender. But anyway, they were on here and they were trying to explain they had this different type of urban thing and they were trying to do this and that with it. And show the smarts of, you know, like blue, you know, instead of blue collar crime, I guess it's when you go out there and you actually stick up something with a gun. But they wanted to show white collar crime, and you know, they were explaining that, but to me, the way they were talking, they couldn't explain the difference, which means they didn't really do a lot of. They were intrigued with it, but they didn't do a lot of research on what the difference between it was. I mean, you know, they were talking about, and I don't want to say this because as soon as I say this, you guys are going to know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I already know.
Check cashing, and all this stuff. And
I ask questions.
Right, making you know, the crimes that they were talking about, you know, credit cards, you know, fake, all this stuff. Cool, but, it's, you know, I mean, but you got to do research on this. You got to be able to explain it in a manner where people understand why is it different. I mean, okay, we know it's different from going and sticking up guns and all this stuff and doing that. Okay, we got that. But the thing is, you know, I hope that, and I didn't read their book, I should have, but I hope that they explain in there the difference of what made it different from any other crime or how it's done. You know, hopefully they did the research on it, you know. But it just kind of just, I don't even know. I'm trying to make it make sense of what I'm saying. It's just that they were explaining it in such a manner that I just, you know, it made me not really want to read it because, and that's nothing against them personally or anything like that. It's just that they just couldn't explain. When you asked the questions, they didn't know what to say. They would just want to say, well, it's different. But we know that it's different.
But see, that kind of comes along with your first book, because we all know everybody in here who has had their first book, and when you go to your first show or you're first obligated to explain what your book is about, you kind of freeze. Because no one ever teaches you that you're supposed to have your sales pitch ready. You know,
right.
And so
he protects this person all the time. But I thank you for that.
No. And, no, because but the truth of the matter is,
I almost messed up and said who it was. Anyway.
You're right. We say get your book ready, get the marketing, get everything. We teach everything about what's supposed to be done, but we never teach you how to sell your own product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the hardest thing to do is summarize a 200, 300 page book in 10 seconds so that somebody will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
I agree with you, but I don't think she was trying. Well, I guess she was trying. I'll say that. Okay, I guess that person was trying to explain that, but I think what they were really trying to do is explain the difference between the type of crimes versus what we're normally reading, what makes theirs different, and they didn't have the research in that. I don't even think it was so much about, you know, trying to explain the book. It was more of why my crime is different from the normal crime you read about.
But you know,
you understand
that,
what I'm
that's
saying?
Part of your sales pitch. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
because
right.
You're going to ask those questions. And as a salesman, you know, Red, if somebody comes up to you and say, okay, this book is about a succubus, so what happened? So you go, you got basically 10 to 15 seconds to sell your book whenever you're at a trade show or a book show, what have you. You have 10 to 15 seconds basically to sell your book. So you know, like I know, that you got to be on point. You got to be who, what, when, where, why, how, bam. And that's what it is. And you got to leave them wanting more. If you don't have that part down packed, if you don't have that down packed, you're never going to sell books. Because I talk to people all the time. Whenever I go to shows, I got my sales pitch down packed. Why? Because I spent hours in the mirror thinking about, you know, reciting what I was going to say. Who, what, when, where, why, how. And then when I'm selling all these books, people are like, well, what are you doing that's so special? Not only am I getting out of my seat and pulling them to my table to let them know, you know, that I want their business, but when they come to me, I already know what I want to say. So whatever question they ask, I'm on top of it. That is what a salesman does. You're not just an author. You're a salesperson.
Yes,
you have to
definitely
sell whatever it is you got on your table.
Well, I'm glad you did that because people must understand, those that are interested in writing and getting into the literary game, they must know this. What he just said is very important because you, I don't care if you sign with the mainstream company or if you sign with your own company or you sign with whoever, you must. You have to do the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it. And they'll tell you that, even if you're with these big companies. Most of the time, they might do some, but it's not a lot. The only way they're going to put their money in you is if you're making them money. If you're not making them any money, then guess what? You own your own.
Yeah.
And they will drop you. And they will drop you.
Yes.
You know, you got 90 days to get something going. They might give you a year. But if it's not working, guess what? You've been pimped. Mm-hmm. They will give your books back to you, and they'll say, you know, it was great, but we don't want your shit no more. You know, we got to go somewhere else. You know, that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, everywhere I go, I'm always selling something, you know, and because if I'm at the supermarket, you know, if I'm at the cleaners, if I, you know, hair salon, wherever I am, you know, I'm pulling out, you know, all the, you know, information. And a lot of times, you know what people will say? And it's so funny. I'm like, do I look like I'm sage or something like that? Because people, you know, I said, hi, how are you? You know, and I said, well, do you read, what do? You read Urban Lit? Do you, you know, and I try to engage them in conversation like that. And people, oh, no, thank you. That's okay. I don't want any. Like, I haven't even told you what I'm trying to sell or do, you know, and then I'll go on. And then that's when I'll talk to them and I'll tell them, you know, why I'm trying to give you this information.
You sound like Jehovah's Witness talking like that.
I'm not trying to what it is? Because when you catch people off guard like that, you know, it's like, huh? What does she want with me? Oh, my goodness gracious, she's trying to get me to come to her church. You know, she's trying to save me. And all. No, I'm not.
I'm
going to
take a look at you again, Gwen. Let me go take a look at you again and see if you look saved or not. Because I don't know. Let me go see what it is. I'm sorry to say that. That's funny.
You know, because I was over in New York, over, you know, like I said, don't go across 110th Street. Well, I was over there with a girlfriend one time. We were younger. No, I had no business over there. And she went over there. Yes, she went to buy some drugs. I didn't know that's what she was doing. But I saw some other friends over there. I said, what are you doing over here? I said, well, I came over here with Cookie, and, you know, she asked me to come. What? Go stand over there by that church. That way nobody won't bother you. I'm like, what? I said, go stand over there by the church. We can't stay here with you. We have somewhere to go. But if you're standing over there, they're going to think you're part of the church. So
Okay, Gwen, I see. I'm looking at these pictures of you again. I knew how you looked before, but now I'm really taking a different look at you now.
Really?
They think you saved.
He's saved.
Oh, goodness.
They think she's saved. She gonna bring her. She look like somebody's pastor's wife or something, the mother of the church or something on some of these pictures. That's the reason why they doing it. They don't want to.
She's passing out things
to
the church.
But you know,
let me tell you something. A lot of people just don't understand. I'm going to let you speak in a minute, so I'm sorry. But a lot of people don't understand the pastor's wife and all them. They might be saved, but they fucking all that too, don't they? I mean, damn. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also unusual for somebody to walk up and ask you about purchasing a book that, you know, that's not Jehovah's Witness book. You know, usually people are talking to you about other stuff, but it's very unusual for people to walk up on you and say, hey, you know, what kind of books do you like to read? You know, a lot of people are like, read what? Read?
Uh-huh. I've even asked them.
And then a lot of people,
what's that?
They don't want to tell you that they read erotic fiction or something because they be like, well, I want them to judge me, so I got to say self-help or something. That's what everybody's answering. I'm reading a self-help book or something, you know, they always, you know, something like that, you know. I don't read all that other stuff.
I would be like, is this a new pickup line? Where did this come from?
when people walk up to us, we are ready to on the defense.
What is really going on?
I'm having my whole wardrobe and my change, my hairstyle, everything. I had to get punk rock on them or something.
Get you some baggy jeans, Gwen, as you know, some burgundy hair and rock that.
Wow. Well, I don't know. We got to do something because you got that look. You just look so innocent.
I know.
But I don't know why.
I haven't even seen her. I haven't seen her, but she sounds like that.
She does. But go check her out on Facebook, and I'm gonna do an intermission song real quick, and then we're gonna come back and talk some more about, you know, since we're talking about the books and stuff, we might as well go ahead and just talk about how we can get, you know, our vision of ourselves better out there for people, and we need to decide too as well. What is it? Who are we trying to market to? And then, you know, you got to kind of work your way to that. And that's with not just all the time, but whatever you're selling at that time. I think that's very good. So let me go ahead and play this one.
Oh, yeah.
Cut real quick, and we'll come right back. Okay.
I got something for that.
Radio, and this is Red Snapper as we bring you the literary talk that we're talking tonight about different things, and the panel is going through a lot of very important stuff. I want to take this time right now also to, I saw that the Casey Girlfriends Book Club is here with us listening, so we thank you for coming on and listening as well. So hopefully you're enjoying the show. All right, now get back to Miss Cotton.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to say something here about you had a thought, and we're going to go ahead and let you do that right now. You remember what the thought was?
You mentioned something about, what was the topic you mentioned before we got off?
Well, we were talking about, you know, basically how they market themselves, the genres that they're in as far as the books that they're writing, and, you know, just different things in that aspect. So go ahead.
I was going to say that I know that when I first, when I first started posting onto Facebook, I posted a lot of stuff that I wrote, of course, was very sexual, very, very sexual. And, my kids would say, my cousins would say, your mom, you're so nasty, Sheila. My kids would be like, Mom, I don't, And then I had a couple of my old friends that some are pastors and some are not. They were saying, you know, Sheila, I've read some of your work and I like it, but, you know, I can't really read it because of X, Y, and Z. And I understood it kind of, but then at the same time, I knew that I would get bored with writing sexual because that's just not who I am deep down. I'm not a sexual person that I want everybody in the world to know about. So it got to the point where I decided that I wanted to put a message out because what I'm putting out right at that time really wasn't doing anything but promoting more sex. And it wasn't intended to be that way initially. So I, you know, changed it up. Of course, now I write about a lot of love and relationship stuff. And I thought, you know, I want my kids to be able to read this. You know, I want my friends to be able to read what I'm writing. I want my mom or my grandmother to be able to read what I'm writing about. So I had to change my writing style and what I was writing about so that anybody that picked it up pretty much could enjoy it and understand it. Somebody said to me, Sheila, you know, I need you to write more deep, you know, more complex. I said, why? Because you want me to write like everybody else? I don't write complex. I make it very simple so that anybody on almost any level can understand what it is I'm writing about, because I'm writing about real life things that happen in real relationships. I'm not trying to make up a story just so you, and I'm not trying to do a lot of word playing. I'm not a spoken word artist, so I don't want to confuse you with what it is that I'm saying. I want you to understand exactly what I'm talking about when I'm done at the end of this piece. So that's where that was my experience with changing the style of writing from, because the first two books is definitely coming off the shelf.
Well, I mean, you know, but the thing is this, you write and you promote for what you're writing at that time. But what I'm saying is as we go forth in our writing out and we grow and we get better at whatever it is, if we stay in this genre or we move to another genre or whatever the case, what I'm saying is you have to market for what you're writing at that point. So that was a time that you were at that chapter in your writing that you was writing that kind of stuff. And you know, they were telling you need to do this, it's too rough, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, you changed it hopefully because you wanted to, not because they told you it was too rough. So now you're writing, you know, you market it for what you're feeling right now. So that's what we're saying, though, you know, is you have to be able to market what you're selling right now. I think that's what DV was saying. Is that correct, DV? Is he still here? Gone.
No, I'm here.
You're not listening, DV? What's going on, man? You're doing all these comments to me on Facebook, and you ain't paying no damn attention. No, I'm just playing. No. What I was saying was this, man. She was saying that, you know, marketing to what you write at the time, and I think that's what you kind of commented on before we went into the music break, is, you know, whatever it is that you're writing right now, you know, you want to make sure you promote and market for what you're doing. So as you do different things, you should market toward what it is that you're doing. It doesn't have to necessarily always be the same way, because, I mean, you're trying to get this audience to understand that you have versatility, you know, that you are different, and you don't write just the same stuff all the time. So I was just trying to, you know, get you to comment on what you actually were saying, because she was saying just that. So did you hear what she said?
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm.
DB was eating.
DB, what are you doing, DB? DB, what you doing?
Man, eating.
Oh, because when he said, oh,
no,
yeah, you sounded like you was doing something else.
Because I had to smash you. Because, you know, I didn't want to be smashing in y'all ears, so.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, anybody else? Carmen, did you want to comment or say anything on that?
Didn't want to be smashing.
Oh, she's commenting on the smashing. Okay. All
right. Right.
Well,
exactly.
Gwen,
see, here we go.
Gwen, you're still here, right, Gwen?
Yes, I'm still here. Uh huh.
So, what do you think? What do you think about what Ms. Cotton had just mentioned?
Well, you know, I mean, it's good to change up, you know, it's really good, because I know somebody was saying on Facebook about why do you want to, if you want to change the, you know, your genre of writing, why do you need a nickname? And, I mean, if I write erotica, well, naturally, you know I'm going to have to use a pen name. But they just wanted to know, why would you, you know, want to use a pen name? Why would you not want to be known for that, you know? But not that I'm trying to change the subject or anything, but I think it's good when you want to change and write about other things.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I do it all the time. Like I said, you know, although people know me for erotica and all that, Red Snap or whatever the case, still, I try to go into different things, you know, with like I said, with the paranormal and all that, even though there's still some sexual pieces in there. I just want people to see that I can write about other things than just people just, you know, because they already got this wrong thing that they think, okay, his book's all is full of sex. But if there's really a story there, if you read the story, I mean, I'll try to write so that if I take out the sex, you still have a story that you can read. You know, that's what you try to do. And the thing is, you know, people are so into, oh, he's writing about sex and all this, that they fail to see that piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why I try to write a historical, or I try to write other things to show my educational level and you know, or whatever. I just want to show that there's that I can do other things than just talk about whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the thing is, when you're a writer, people automatically, like I said, they want to stigmatize you. They want to put you in a group. If I write erotica now, and 5 years from now, I want to write children's books, I can't use DV. And the reason being,
well, no, you shouldn't want to use the same.
Well, the thing is, what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what my growth is. If, you know, I decide I want to write kids' books, people are automatically going to assume that the DV moniker is an erotic one. So, I mean, you have to switch names,
but,
you know.
Deviant. Come on, man. You know well it's sexual.
My point is I'm using it. I'm trying to provide an example here, man. You mess with my flow. But
what you was eating earlier, so goddamn. What example are you trying to show? Anyway, go ahead.
But the real honest answer is this. You, as an author, you don't want to get stuck in one genre. And if you're doing
something
that is complete antithesis of what you typically do, you know, kids' book is the complete opposite of erotica. You know what I'm saying? They're two different genres completely. But the thing is, as long as I'm writing erotic books under DV, I can't write kids' books under the same moniker simply because parents are not going to buy their kids that book because of what they've seen in my erotic novels.
Absolutely. And there are some authors that have done it. I know that I'm not going to say his name, but he's been writing, you know, teen books and all this stuff for a long time, and he has come out with some books that were adult, but he used the same name. So I don't know. I guess it'll work for some people. But I read the book that he wrote that was erotic, and if I knew that he also wrote teen books, I probably wouldn't want my teen to read that book now.
You don't
want to
get too mixed up.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of authors that do that. I mean, like, you got J.D. Robb, who is also, what is her other name? I can't even remember what her other name is, but she writes under pseudonyms. What's her name again? I'm sorry. I can't remember what her real name, her other name is, but anyway, she writes. I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
Nora Roberts.
There you go.
Oh, Nora Roberts. Okay.
Right,
yeah.
Nora Roberts. Who's trying? I'm sorry, sweetheart. Okay, Nora Roberts, and she writes. She's a great writer, and she's, you know, I want to get her. I would love to have her on our show, you know, because, you know, she's done things. She writes a lot of stuff in one. J.D. Robb. She writes, and at one point she was saying Norma Roberts writing as J.D. Robb, or some of her covers that has that, and then she kind of just went because people start knowing now that she's this different person. You know, this person, but she writes, when she's writing in this under this one name, you know what to get here. And when she's writing as the other, you know, genre, she's writing this way in this name. So, you know, it just depends on how you want to do it. But you're right. I wouldn't want people to pick up a Red Snapper book and think that it's going to be talking about self-help or something. Well, unless they're going to think self-help sexual because everything Red Snapper is mostly sexual. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you wouldn't want
to. I hadn't planned to change my name
and I'm doing exactly what he's talking about in the example, but I had planned to change it, and I don't think I will.
Well, there are some people that hasn't. Like, there's another author I know. She writes Christian books, but she also writes, she's writing other stuff too, and that's kind of sexual. And she says she's not going to change it because she wants people to always remember that she's doing this, that she's versatile. Okay, I think we may have Julia Price Simmons. How you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late. This is Julia Price Simmons.
What's up, sweetie?
Hello.
Before you go any further, we understand that you're not feeling well, so and you let me know that, so you have a pass this evening. We thank you for still calling in, but guess what? We can reschedule you because I don't want you to be on here not feeling good and all that, but I thank you for at least calling in because sometimes people forget and they just don't do anything. And then when you say something, it's like they get mad because you said something. But I know you're a sweetheart, so that's the reason why I thank you for doing that, coming on. And,
thank you. I feel so bad.
That's okay. I'm not feeling good. But we. Okay, so we're going to reschedule you, okay? Is that all right? If you want to, you can say whatever you want right now. But okay. Well, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, buy my book.
Yeah, buy your book. Well, tell us the name of your latest one right quick, and then we're going to let you go. You got
right
several books. You
mean
buy your book,
right?
You got thousands of books. So how you going to say buy my book?
Come on, buy my. They know my book, Strawberry Man, Timbergonia Brown, Violet,
okay.
Fornication, Volume 1. Help an author keep the lights on. Everybody go.
That's right.
Go,
yeah, that's right. Fornication 1 and 2. Oh, yeah, sexual. I love it. Fucking.
Yeah.
And all that shit. Yeah, there you go. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we hope you feel better. And I'm not going to try to keep you. But I appreciate you calling because you really didn't have to. When you told me you were sick, I understood. So we're going to reschedule you to come back on. And it'll be soon, okay?
Okay, please do. I'm looking forward to it. Bye, everybody.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Have a good night, y'all.
Okay. All right. All right, so back to what we were saying as far as the pseudonyms. Now, Carmen said she's going to keep her name, which is fine. I understand that, you know, and her reasoning. But, you know, like I said, I had another pseudonym, R.J. Leonard, that I was going to use, and I still may continue to use. I started that when I was doing the paranormal stuff, but, you know, people were so into, they knew it was still me, so I just went ahead and put it back there for that. So in order for me to use a pseudonym, like if I start doing, like, crime and stuff like that, with not a lot of sexual explicitness to it, maybe, then maybe I would, you know, use a pseudonym for something else. But it's fun because, I mean, I just like writing and people try to figure out it's you here and you there and different names or whatever. I mean, and you can still let people know it's you. I mean, just know that when you write under this genre, that's that person. You're still the same person, but you're writing as this alter ego here, or you're using this pseudonym there. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I ever write a children's book or a Christian. I thought about Christian fiction, but if I did, I still would write it as Red Snapper, though. Because them books, to me, is still sexual. They just use a pastor this and preacher that and Sister Cucumber and whatever. What's the difference?
You only going to sell 10 books. You know, if you write Christian fiction, you only going to sell 10 books because they're like, that Red Snapper nasty. And why?
You
don't sell no Christian fiction books.
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to have that book, not let nobody know they're reading it like they do with the other Red Snapper books, hiding the shit and reading it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't tell my friends I'm reading it, but they're reading it anyway. You know? That happened to this one girl. I went to a book club here in Kansas City, and they wanted to read my first book, Scandalous Motives. There was this one girl who was just adamant about, no, I can't do this. Are we supposed to be doing self-help? Blah, blah, blah. They read the book, and they came back and had me back to, you know, after they read the book, and she knew about more of the characters and everything, about everything, and everybody was just looking at her like, she was the one that was talking about she didn't want to read this stuff, but she knew every character's name, or who did what, why they did this, and everything. She's the one that was talking more than anybody. So, you know, it's amazing.
That's how they do it.
Huh?
Was it that's how they do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing,
I read one a couple of weeks ago called Swingers.
And I had no idea it was supposed to be Christian fiction because it was bad.
What was the name of it? Hunger?
No, it's called Swingers.
Swingers.
Yes. Oh. I mean, I was like, she's talking double penetration. She's, I was like, wow. And then
Christians fuck. I thought Christians fuck. They don't fuck. They just immaculate conception. Okay. Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
Penetration means that she had two men there, sir. Christians are not supposed to do that.
Well, wait a minute. Did she have two deacons or something? A deacon and a pastor? They was both doing her, you know, the choir director or whatever.
Well, you know what? Red needs to have that minister back on again. Remember, Red, you had the minister on?
Yeah, he's coming to town. You know what he did? He called me a couple of weeks ago. He's supposed to be coming to Kansas City. He wants to meet for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And talk more about the books, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe he thinks he's going to try to get me saved or something. I don't know. But anyway, he want to talk more about the books and all this stuff. So I don't know. But anyway, yeah, he was over here talking shit. Because he said he ain't always been saved. Like, some people think that, you know, once you get saved that, you know, you just never been nothing else. You know, he's always been just church. And there's nothing wrong, but you got to realize you can help somebody better when they know that you are being who you are. You just happen to be walking a different walk right now. But when you come to me with this, you're fucked up and all this, and, you know, you're doing this and you ain't supposed to do that, you know, like you've never done nothing wrong in your life, it's not going to work. At least for me, anyway. Maybe for somebody else. You know. I don't know. Maybe it'll work for somebody else. Maybe, I don't know. What was the name of the book? I'm going to look it up. You said, what was it, Hunger?
No,
Swinger. Swinger.
We need to get you again. We have to get Red the hearing aid.
The very last chapter, she starts talking about God saving their man. Oh, my God.
Swingers.
I'm still can't understand.
You know, like
a
swinger. Swinger.
Swinger. Okay, I get it.
Like people on swings.
You know, if I saw that book, I wouldn't have thought that was no damn. Who wrote it? Was it written by Blake Carrington?
No, somebody. I think Ferguson, Torian Ferguson, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I see it right here. Yeah, Blake Carrington and Torian Ferguson. Yeah, it was written in 2004.
And then all of a sudden, the last chapter, they talk about God comes in and saves their marriage. I was like, huh?
but look at this though. Since we're talking this, a lot of these plays are like that. They always got these people always doing all this shit, and at the end, God comes in and saves the day. A lot of times, am I wrong in that? Because I mean, I've seen a lot of, you know, I haven't seen a lot of plays. I've seen some, and they all seem to have the same ending. But yeah, this book, everybody's talking about it. It will make you laugh, cuss, and root for the characters. They can't even spell the word characters. As you go along with them on a hell of a roller coaster ride. They spell character CHARECTORS.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Scandalously good. Freakalicic. A mess. Oh, they got all kinds of stuff. Swingers. Well, first of all, when you see this book, I never would have thought it was, like you said, a Christian fiction book. Because it don't look like it on the front. But then again, that's good. It's not supposed to look like that, I guess. When it goes beyond curiosity. Interesting.
All I know is I was very surprised when the very last chapter they started talking about God and praying. And I was like, what? And then I put that to the beginning and thought it said Christian. And I was like, this is crazy. Yeah, okay.
Well, no, what they really meant was Christian friction.
Well, it's got 59. It was been out since 2004, so it should have a lot of reviews. It's got 59 customer reviews. The majority of them are 34 five stars and 24 stars, and then there's a few 3 and 1s. But you know, I mean, interesting. I'd have to take a look at that. And I guess, like you said, it's classed as a Christian fiction novel. Interesting. But I heard this author before. Torian Ferguson. He has all these other books: role play, swingers, scandalous, friendly enemies, you know, they write a lot of sexual stuff, so maybe they was just writing that and they wanted to get that crowd for a minute, see if they can get them, and I guess they did.
Indeed. They ain't no choice.
Chapter 1, Gray Eyes. I really didn't know what to think when my wife, Lena, agreed to bringing a third party into our bedroom. That does not sound like... I like that. I have to get that. Okay. All right. Let's see. You know, like I said, you just have to market yourself in a manner that you, you know, what are you, who are you trying to market your books to? So that's the thing that you have to look at. And if I, when I do paranormal, I don't go to the erotic fiction folks. I mean, I kind of give a little to them because there's some erotica in it, but I'm trying to write to people who are into paranormal. So, I mean, if they don't like the sexual pieces in it, what some of them do and some don't, then they might say something. But like I said, I got a review the other day from someone who don't normally read that stuff, and they gave it 4 out of 5 stars, which I thought was pretty good, and they were like, you know, I just can't believe it. They like the historical part of it, how I went back in the 19th century and all that. But, you know, it was just, I mean, you just got to try to market to who you're trying to sell at that time. So. But Andrea is pretty good. She's going to be here next week, and she's going to be talking about all the things she's doing. And she seems to have a great marketing plan going on and all that, so.
Yeah, so you got to talk about George and all he's going through.
Just a little trembling.
Yeah, I heard that she was doing that.
Yeah, because she was on the other night on a show and talking about, you know, all the, you know, but the court system. It's a shame that, you know, all of those, you know, writers from back in the day, well, not writers, but, you know, musicians have had their works just stolen. You know, and the courts, it's like, it's okay to steal their records, you know, because they're only blacks, you know, and it's sad, you know, but, I mean.
Well, you know, that's because people back then, you know, and still today some, they don't really read the contracts well. They're just so happy that they're getting, you know, their work out. And they don't realize that they don't get the royalties and all the things that they think they're going to get. And even in this genre, books, we have to look too, because when you sign with these people, you know, you're not. You got to make sure you know what you're getting, because this game is the same thing. It's just a different product. It's just like the music.
Yes, it is.
You just have to be able to. Right. You have to definitely know what you're getting into. You got to make sure you got your, you know, your royalty stuff set and all that. And when a lot of people don't realize when they sign their books over to these main publishing companies, or I'll say not main, but mainstream, that. You are, and I say being a pimp, you know, I laugh and joke on it, but you are, because a lot of times, once you sign everything, you sign this contract, they can do what they want with the book. They can change it, they can make it shorter, you don't do anything with the cover. I mean, a lot of them are starting to let you do that now, but, you know, in the past, it was like, here, this, you said you wanted us to publish you, so fuck you, here's your money, you know, we'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with when your book becomes a movie, you know. You don't get paid until they start shooting. Once they start shooting, then you get the check, and then after that, they can change and do whatever they want to it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think that it's going to be the same, and it's not. It's not necessarily what they think. So you got to make sure that what it is that you're giving away is what it is that you got to understand what it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, just for those that are listening that are interested in getting into this game, it's more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not get rich overnight. You know, you got to love it. Like we've been saying every week, you got to love writing to be an author. Because if you don't and you're just trying to get paid, then you better find some other way to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep your two-day job.
And you need two jobs. You need two-day jobs to be an author.
You know, I mean, one that's paying six figures. But anyway, it just depends on your lifestyle, too. But anyway, a lot of people think because you got a book out, you got money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of, they think that. They think, oh, you got a couple books out. A lot of people think that just because the book's on the shelf, you automatically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. And it's just going to fly off the shelf, and people are just going to just get it because it's there. You know, you're going to be a household name the night after the book comes out. Everybody knows who you are. You know, they need to do their research before they get into any type of business like this. You know, and if you are not a seller, then you better get somebody who can do it for you really well, because, you, like I said, you're going to have to sell yourself. And if you can't do it,
yeah,
then
your
book is not going to do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it is.
That's like me. I talk too much sometimes because my father being a minister, my brother being a minister, my mother being a school teacher, they're all of my sisters and brothers are school teachers, so I didn't want to be one. But
and you wonder why people look at you and say, hey, you must be saved. See, what the hell is that? You just told on yourself. Now we know.
Yeah, I know. It's my little undercover secret, but, you know.
Well, I used to be a minister, but people don't believe that. Anyway. because you know what? And I'm not saying all preachers are this way, so people that's listening on the Word of Sexy Radio audience, don't take it this way. But a few of them are pimps, and they are pulling you in.
Mm-hmm.
What they need. So, and I ain't gonna say all of them are, because they're not. Some of them are legit and they're serious, and a lot of them get into preaching and they are serious when they get into it until they start getting some money or some things start coming. And for some reason, there's a lot of women, and I ain't trying to dog the church. Y'all don't take this wrong. You get all this, you know, some women, there are women that go to church just so they can bring the pastor down or a minister down. They like that intriguement of him being in front and doing all this shit, and they just want to fuck him. You know, there's been cases where he goes out and he's evangelizing, and they'll come to his room, or they want you to come to his house, come to his, you know, and be no clothes on. You know, where do you think the idea came from? The trench coat, go to the damn hotel room and shit. You know, I mean, you know, it's just those things happen. It's up to you, of course, to be strong enough not to let it happen. But hey, I guess those things for some ministers they just can't, you know. They're human. Just got to remember. A lot of people think just because they have a word with the Lord or have a connection with them that they're just, you know. But that's not true. But anyway, let's get off that. But yeah, you know, this thing is really, you got to really enjoy doing it, because you're just not going to, it just don't happen. Now, some people do get these deals where they get a book deal like Precious and stuff like that. But, you know, after Precious became a movie and it did what it did, you know, she's probably got some fame from it, you know, but where is anything else? I mean, unless you are someone like J.K. Rowling or something like that, you know, and get these deals, like 20 years, and then somebody actually recognizes your character, and then they want to change it from a girl to a boy because they think a boy is more intriguing to follow than a girl, and they change all these things. You know, a lot of people didn't know that Harry Potter was a girl. Anyway, all this stuff is things that they do to get what they need to sell, whatever it is they're selling. And if you want to fall into just getting the money, then you will change your craft for it. You know, she's a billionaire now, so, I mean, I'm not mad at her.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, she's doing her thing, but, you know, there's some people that just, you know, your craft may not ever get recognized. It's like DV was saying earlier in the show. You know, there's a lot of folks who should get Academy Awards, but they just don't, because people just don't recognize them. They recognize all this other stuff. And, you know, it's just a shame but, you know, it's all of us don't get recognition.
Yeah.
Or they might wait till you die and then they give it to you.
Smell
the flowers while you're alive, or just like Donald Jones, so many people around here,
you know, with Whitney, you know, because a lot of us knew her, knew Dion's family and stuff, you know,
right.
And it's just a shame.
That's right, you're up there where she's at. That's right. Yeah,
it's a shame that they turned into a 3-ring circus, you know.
Yeah. And so did they ever find out who put that picture out? Since we're talking about that.
It was one of the people there. They don't know if it was the funeral parlor or. But see, I'm gonna tell you something now. Carol Wiggum, she does not play.
Uh-huh.
I wrote this on Facebook, you know, when they were having the funeral. I said, let me tell you, when I say it's gonna be precision, and she's gonna stand up there, and she's gonna give you hand movements, and you better know what she means. You know,
right.
And if you look at the funeral, you will see when she told those men, lift that casket, put it on their shoulders, and march and follow behind her, didn't they do it on time?
Oh, yeah, they did. Sure. And see, a lot of people don't realize that you know, seeing they, a lot of people have never seen people carry the coffin that way. I've seen a lot, you know, military and different things, but
yeah.
That's something that comes from England, and you know, they used to do that kind of thing, and they were just, you know, they just were shocked to see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. But it was somebody.
But
I don't think it was anybody that worked for her, you know, because the people that work for her have been there for years and years, and they're not going to jeopardize their job or anything. And it's just his family, you know, and because her father did it, and then she inherited it from him, and, you know, she has her kids working there. So it had to be one of her family members who sold the pictures looking for some money.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, but and I'm not saying this is going to happen, so people that's listening, please don't think that I'm saying this, but some people think that they've tried to put a rumor out that the bodyguard is probably going to write a tell-all book or something because he was there seeing everything, but I don't think so. I mean, the way he spoke up there when he was talking about her, but, you know, a lot of people say, oh, watch, it's going to be a deal. You know, it's just how everybody talks about different stuff, and they just want to just, you know, undermine and everything, you know, talk about all the negative the person's done and all this. And, you know, I loved her. I didn't know her personally, but I loved her, and I'm going to miss her. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck about all this other shit, whatever happened in her life. People go through things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that dog's her husband, you know, her ex-husband.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they was together 15 years.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing about it is, I mean, as a mother, I can understand, you know, if a man's beating on your child. You know, I can understand that, and I can understand you hating them, not wanting them around, and, you know, and they all thought Bobby was beneath her anyway. She should have done better. A lot of people,
right.
You know, that was their
right.
train of thought. But, I mean, you can't
right.
help who you fall in love with. You know, you just can't help that. But
you sure?
And
I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them putting out the rumor, oh, Bobby is the one that put her on the drugs and all this. And,
no,
and you know,
no,
that's not
no.
true. That is not true.
Mm-hmm. He was already on drugs before she got together with him.
I mean,
and
you know, what's her name put it out? She put
that.
The truth out. Right. It was put out by Jennifer Holliday. A lot of people were probably mad at her because she said it. But she said, hey, well, we was all coming up before Dreamgirls and all this, and she was already doing this stuff. So it's not something that he introduced her to. She might have introduced
uh-huh.
it to him, bro. We know. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't
uh-huh.
matter. That's just the point
yeah.
that I'm trying to make here. It doesn't matter what happened. The woman was here. She graced us with her talent while God led her, and then he took her when he was ready. So, you know, the
mm-hmm.
thing is we just got to stop. Well, not us, but people just got to stop. Trying
yeah.
to figure out
it's
reasons.
The new
and shit.
Media, you know, the paparazzi.
Right, right. And all these people, well, we don't care. She had to be high because she used to get high and all this. You know, whatever. I'm just tired of all this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they didn't say that about Amy Winehouse and all the rest of them, and I like them too.
Oh.
And I'm not saying this because I don't, but nobody was talking about, well, Elvis and this and all this, you know, all these people, they was getting, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I can talk about this all day. I don't want to talk about it. But anyway, we got about, let's see, how much time do we have left? We got about 20 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm going to let everyone on the panel, if they got something they want to put out about things that's coming up that they might want people to know about, we're going to let them do that at this time. So, Cotton, since you seem to be the most happiest, we're going to start with you. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've talked about Karen White and Lenny Williams. I have that show coming
uh-huh.
up in March. I'll be in Chicago
right.
in March. Also, tomorrow I'll be speaking in Vacaville as a motivational speaker. Thursday or Friday I'll be meeting with one of the homeless shelters in my area to talk about doing a show for the homeless women and children in this area. I'll be in Kansas in June. And by Sweet Mangoes, www.softspokenpoet.com.
All right, who's next?
DV can go.
Carmen, I choose Carmen next.
My dad's first name is not DV.
Yes, right, it's Carmen. Carmen next.
I'm not going to do it just because you said that.
Okay, so.
let the women go first.
So she doesn't want to go. So go ahead, baby.
She just stubborn. Anyway, okay, I'll go. Hello.
Well, you're listening.
All right. Oh, that was. I thought my phone chipped out.
Still here.
Oh, you know, like I currently have one book out, Untapped, which is an anthology collection of shorts. In addition to that, you know, Red, that we both contributed to Melody's little her e-zine, her e-magazine, where we both contributed short stories.
That's right.
I've read yours. Yeah. But,
say what?
You didn't like it? Yeah. No, I like it. You know, but, like, I was like, damn! All right, but,
hey, man. I made it interracial, man. I just wanted to make it something different, you know. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, like, right now. So.
Okay. He got dropped. At least once a week, he drops for a second or something. I just don't get it. But anyway.
All right, so
while he's gone, he's going to come back and finish. Carmen, did you want to go ahead now and kind of mention what's going on with you? Because I know you got. Okay, he's coming back. There he is. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. See, I was waiting for that to happen because it was like.
It happens once a week. It happens once a week.
I'm telling you, it only happens when I'm talking, though.
Okay, well, I was going to let Carmen go, but Carmen doesn't want to go yet, so go ahead and finish.
No, but that's fine. You know, it's called The Little Black Book. It's on Kindle for $1.99. One of the, actually, the if not the best e-zine that I've seen, and that's not biased. I've seen a lot of e-magazines, and they're pretty awful, so, you know, I'm very proud of her in that aspect.
I like the cover. I like the cover.
Yeah.
Looks like her lips.
And she tells me she probably wants to do this every holiday, bring out another e-zine. So, and also there are stories from you, myself, Keith, and a couple under wonderful ladies. Also, the website. I finally finished the one for Apple. Like I had a Mac, and my Mac site was just destroyed. It was just not looking the way I wanted, so just went ahead and redid that. So the websites for Naughty Ink Press and NI Press Books.com are both up for PC and for Mac, so you guys can check those out. Tell me how much you love them, because, you know, everything is you know, it's all positive to me. So whether you love it or hate it, you know, I love doing it, and I think it looks pretty damn nice. So, you know, check that out. But as of now, I'm just in the midst of writing. Even though I'm not Catholic, I'm going through Lent, so this is the only time I'm allowed on anything electronic. So y'all may not hear from me for a while, like at least once a week, so that upsets me greatly. But other than that, everything is good.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. Did you give up all electronics for Lent? Or did you just give up Facebook, or, you know, being on radio shows, or
almost all electronics.
Mhm. Oh,
that means the phone. Still use the phone.
I can only use the phone one day a week. The cell phone one day a week. The house phone is something completely different. But you know, the cell phone I can only use once a week.
Mhm.
And I chose Monday.
I would have had that in reverse.
So, like, you really won't catch me on Facebook. You won't catch me playing video game, TV, the whole deal. So, like, I am very sad now.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually gives me a lot more time to do the things I need to do.
Okay. I would have given up my home phone rather than my cell phone because, you know, you definitely need that when you're out and about, you know, but... I would have given up my phone.
I'm not really a cell phone user, so
mm-hmm.
You know, it to me is no big loss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but as far as giving up the, like, I type on my computer, so that I'm allowed to do. But anything social, any type of social media, I'm not really allowed to do.
Oh.
So, You know, that includes, you know, PlayStation, that includes, you know, DVR, and, you know, that includes watching, you know, shows that I've DVR'd the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a lonely existence, but I manage.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay. Who's next? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm
got
aware
like 13
of
minutes.
Andrea.
Huh?
Wherever Andrea is, that's where I am. So I don't have a list.
That's true. Well, how is she doing, real quick?
She's doing okay. She's doing okay. The new book is she's trying to get it formatted for putting on Kindle and stuff like that because, you know, when you were mentioning about having those bad distributors and publishers and all that stuff like that, you know, she couldn't put the book out at the end of the year because of this distributor that we had. We had to wait to get out of a contract with him because, I mean, he's had a couple of big-time authors under him, but he was cheating everybody out of money, you know. And so, you know, everybody's trying to take him to court and whatever now, but... So we had to wait till the contract, you know, ceased, and so now she can put the second book out because we're not going to make money just for him, and we, you know, have nothing, you know. So
right,
you say,
right.
Once you contract and you think everything is fine, you see these people look it over, and, you know, and then the next thing you know, they, you know, I guess because they're not doing what they thought they were going to do, and, you know, we don't know the whole gist of whatever happened, but, you know, he turned out to be, you know, less than what everybody thought. And
right.
And he's taking him to court, you know, trying to get money back. Hopefully they can get it, you know. So,
And that right there, people that's listening, if you're interested in getting into this game, you definitely going to have to make sure you do your research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
you
see, like I said, a couple of big-name authors got caught up with him, too, you know. And one asked me, we were at a book signing one time, and this one was a well-known author. And she was there, and we were talking, and she asked me about him. And I told her, I said, run the other way. But she was going to get involved, and she was going to have some of the people in her publishing company. I said, run the other way. Do not bother with him. You know, I mean, he's out there in California, you know, so anybody in California be suspect of, but, you know.
All right, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to definitely be so careful. But, you know, she's trying to get this this other book out now, you know. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Carmen, you ready?
My website, www.therootkeepers.com, has gotten over 1,200 hits this month. So I am ecstatic. And hopefully people will start to understand that Black history is all year round. The book should be dropping in May. I haven't put a definite date on it yet because this is my first time self-publishing, and so I am taking my time and reading everything I can to make sure that it's right. I don't believe in half-stepping. So I've got an anthology coming out in print form, and I think the release date on it is June 6th. And other than that, I'm just...
Okay. All right, did we get everybody?
Mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, Miss Cotton, I want a ticket to come see you and Karen White and Lenny Williams. I can help him with that.
I'm gonna put that word out there.
Okay, well, what's going on with me, I guess, is I got a few projects. First of all, Midwest Publishing Group is starting to grow. The company is very moving quickly now. Getting things, you know, and going forward with that, and going to start getting authors here that will be publishing through us. So we're going to try to make sure we get the right authors. We got an anthology coming up that we want to do that's called Contagious Lust 2, and I'm looking for authors who is interested in that to contact us and let us know. And the deadline for that is April 15th, which is the same as for tax day. We also want to, you know, you write your story 10,000 words or less, and we'll take a look at it and see if it's worthy. And if it is, we'll see about getting you in. Now, it's not a paid project, but it's a project of getting you exposed if you're a new author and as well as someone that's already been around so that we can get you exposed. Well, if you don't have a book deal, you can get one, or to see if you really want to get into this game. Because a lot of times people say they want to write, but do they really want to? And this is how you find out if you really want to do this, you know, one way. So we're doing that. And I got a couple of projects. I got an autobiography I'm working on, which is giving me some problems right now. But anyway, I ain't going to get into that. But also I have the fifth installment of the Scandalous Motives series is coming out, and I'm going to start getting into my after this, I'm going to start getting into the paranormal stuff, because that stuff, a lot of people are really looking for part two to these two paranormal series that I have, so I'm going to try to get that out there. Book two, book three, whatever. I want to get those going. So that's what I'm going to start working on, getting those out. The conference that I wanted to do this summer is looking like it might have to be on hold, but we're still going to have the poetry part of that. Ms. Cotton is going to be coming to town for that, so we're going to still work on getting that done. So hopefully around that same weekend we were talking about doing it, the 22nd through the 24th, we're going to try to get that. And, you know, that one of those days in that weekend. So, also, let's see what else is going on. Just basically just trying to get, you know, all these things done. I'm in an anthology with Omar Tyree, Sheila Goff, and a few others. It's called Gumbo for the Soul. Fire and Desire is going to be coming out at the end of the year. Eight of us has been chosen. I was one of the eight authors that was chosen to be in this anthology, so I'm kind of excited about that. They're talking about doing some touring. As a matter of fact, they're going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, I think. They're going to be coming on. We'll be talking to Omar Tyree and all of them on the show, so look forward to that as well. So, I mean, we got some things going on, and like I said, you just got to, you know, it's a long time, people. If you really want to get into this and get known, however ways you want to do it, you got to get out there, pay your dues, and just do it. And, you know, everybody's not going to like what you do. So, you know, you just got to, once you get past that, you just got to keep going. You know, at first I used to let it get to me, but now, you know, people do bury views or whatever, you know, just, that's their opinion. So you just got to keep going forward. And you can't give up because somebody may not like what you have or what you're doing. You just got to do better, learn from it, and do better, and make it better. You know, even if you have to rewrite a book that you've done, or something like that. So that's just what you have to do. You know, you just can't give up. Just like Cotton, you know, she's a very, very talented woman. You know, had she came to me and said, "I want to write a book," and I said, "Hell no, you. Why should I help you?" She might not be doing what she's doing now. And I'm not saying that I'm the reason. What I'm saying is, she might have would have said, "You know, I'm not gonna do this shit. You know, fuck this. Why? I mean, these people don't care about me." And that's, I had that same story because I was at a book conference, and I had my first book, and there were some authors there, and they were playing me like I wasn't shit. Had I not listened to this one author who came up to me and said, "You can't listen to everybody's stuff. Just you can write. I see what you've done. Just keep going forward." And had she not came to me and said what she said, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So, you know, you just can't let yourself be talked out of what you love. If you really love it, then you just got to fix yourself. If it's a problem, it may not be you. They could be just jealous because you're doing something that they thought of and they didn't do. And that's just it. You know, a lot of times people, like some of these critics that read our books, they might want to write a book but don't know how or just don't want to do it, but they want to criticize everything else, everybody else's stuff. You know, I mean, I'm not saying all of them are like that. There are some that are legit. Some reviews are right. But the thing is you just got to, you can't let it stop you. You're supposed to learn from it. And just try to do better or get out of it. That's what you're going to have to decide. A lot of people that started writing 4 or 5 years ago are not writing anymore. I know a lot of authors. We talked about that before on the show, DB, where there's authors that might be one-hit wonders or not a hit at all. They do it one time, and they don't get what they think they're supposed to get out of it, so they just jump out. Were they really authors? Were they really in it for the love of it? Or were they just doing it because they thought somebody told them they were going to get rich? And they figure they do one book, they can brag they got a book out there, you know. So, you know, that's just it. You just got to decide, do you really want to do this or do you not? Is it for you? Why are you doing it? You know, those are things you got to look at. So I know I love doing it, so I'm going to keep writing. And then if I don't write anymore, which I don't plan on not writing anymore, but if I was to slow down, I want to help others get their stuff out and done well. You know, that's what it's all about for me. what is it for you and anybody out there listening that wants to write? What is it, what do you want to do it for? You know, we get these people all the time that say, I want to write a story. I want to write about my life. I want to do this and that, you know. But what's so interesting about your life that somebody should read about it? Even if it's crappy, you got to make it interesting so that we want to read it.
Yeah.
And that's not saying that you got to make some shit up. That's just saying that you got to write it in such a manner that make me want to be intrigued to continue to find out what happened. How come the people next door threw watermelons at her head? You know, whatever. You know, I'm just saying. You know what? We want to know why. Not your story, huh?
Is it? That sounds not interesting. I'd like, try it.
Shit, it just depends, you know. And you write it in such a manner here where people are interested. Shit, they might want to say, "Well, damn, he picked up a caterpillar and put it in a jar." But if you write it in such a manner where make it so interesting, how intriguing you did it, it might be worth reading. But you never know until you try. So. I think I'm going to leave everybody with that, and we're going to go ahead, and we'll see you next week. And I think we're going to have, like you said, Gwen, you're going to be here, and Andrea, I know she's going to show up. Just
okay.
Make sure she's here. And if
okay.
she's the only one, then we'll just talk to you guys. But we're supposed to also have, let's see, who's scheduled? We're also supposed to have Ms. Rodriguez back on again. She's usually here because she has her own show as well, so she usually, we can guarantee her. And like I said, Julia was sick, so she has a pass, but I don't know why Lakeisha didn't come. And she last week said, I'm a beer. But, you know, people get busy, I guess, and they got their thing that they do. I'm not trying to bust her out or anything, just saying, you know. I'm just saying, like a lot of people say, you know what I mean? So we thank all of y'all for coming on and taking your time out to hang out with me. I'm going to play this Love After War, so if anybody is after me, want to fuck me up because of what I said, then I guess they'll be after me. Okay. All right. Thank you.
know I want you, baby.